That's right. It's almost here. The Star Wars. I thought this might be the big clincher, but Rob going to go with something else, something he thinks is even bigger. Okay, we'll see. See how well he does. We're live at Tickets for Less, ticketsforless.com on the web, KU basketball tickets. $40 to KU and Iowa State on January 9th. KU and Oklahoma State on February 3rd. That's a Saturday. $79, $99 gets you KU West Virginia on Saturday, February 17th. Great Christmas gift, all of these. Great Valentine's gift, that KU West Virginia game, if you'd like. Don't forget, you can save 10% on all events at Sprint Center, including the Big 12 tournament. The NCAA Volleyball Championships going on tonight and Saturday. Just use the promo code SPRINT10. Opening day tickets against the White Sox on March 29th. Be here before you know it. They're just $99. That's as low as that price is going to be, so take advantage of that right now. If you know you're going anyway, let's go. Get it done. Get it sold. Chiefs and Dolphins on December 24th. $20 in the upper tank, $45 in the lower level. Chiefs and Chargers this Saturday. Lower level sideline seats starting at $79, and on the phone, you can get upper level. First 10 rows on the sideline for just $40. It's here. At Tickets for Less, call 913-685-3322. This is the full week of Tixmas specials. Every single day leading up to Christmas, they've got a new special. So make sure every day you check ticketsforless.com. Let's talk Kansas basketball. Brian Haney joins us here in the program. He's brought to you by the 23rd Street Brewery, Matt Llewellyn, his great, great establishment. Specials each and every day. Thursday specials, get a craft beer mugs, 24-ounce, $4. Martinis, got martini specials, great lunch specials, the fried chicken salad, their signature wraps, all are on special. Take advantage of it. Now till midnight, they serve food until 10 at the 23rd Street Brewery. Brian Haney's on the Sprint guest line. Brian, how you doing?
Doing great, Sarin. How are you, my friend?
Not bad, not bad. You know, the sky is falling. I don't know if you heard, you know, the Jayhawks lose two in a row. What kind of volcano erupted around Lawrence is kind of the reaction from many. And Bill Self, certainly critical of his team, which I think the fans always appreciate, that he's pretty real about it, calling his team soft. How much of that, and not the softness thing, we can talk about that a little bit, but how much of his frustration is something that, boy, you look around and go, I'm not sure how good this team is, and how much of it is just him trying to coach up a team that's had a couple of off nights?
Sure, sure. Well, first off, real quickly, you mentioned Chicken Little and the sky falling. I was speaking to a group in Lawrence last night for a holiday luncheon that KU basketball does once a year. And I said, you know, if you just look at the last 11 months since we last huddled up, we saw KU go into Rupp Arena, beat Kentucky. We saw KU set the all-time Guinness Book of World Records for loudest crowd noise in the most epic comeback ever versus West Virginia. We saw them beat, you know, the rest of the Big 12 conference for a 13th straight Big 12 title, something only UCLA has done. We saw Frank Mason become the National Player of the Year. We saw Kansas pick up a 7th-1 seed in 11 years. Just astounding to do that. We then saw him go all the way to the Elite Eight. We saw Frank Mason as the National Player of the Year. We saw Josh Jackson, the 4th overall pick in the NBA draft, another lottery selection for Kansas. Fast forward to the summertime, we saw Kansas go to Italy and win 4 games. We saw Bill Self go into the Basketball Hall of Fame. We saw them renew, restore, and remind Mizzou of their place in the pecking order of this rivalry. We saw them beat Kentucky a 2nd time in the last 11 months. And all of this stuff that most universities and basketball programs would take 30 or 40 years to accomplish, and yet we did it in about 11 months here at KU. I say that to say last week was tough, but man, we're spoiled when Chicken Little comes out after 2 back-to-back losses, one of which being to a team that obviously right now is ranked 5th in the country and is pretty dang good. Now, I didn't just waste your time with 60 seconds of rattling all that off to try to, you know, distract you and avoid the question. But I think we do need some perspective. We're pretty lucky as Kansas fans to have it as good as we do. Now, having said that, I think Coach Self, he's always very tactful and very strategic in his comments to the media. And when he's talking about them being soft, they are. But he's not saying that for our benefit. So Seren and Brian will talk about it on the program. He's saying that to his guys when we press clippings in the headlines and realize he's calling them out. Because obviously they hear it in practice every day. They hear it in the locker room. But to say it as emphatically as he said it after Sunday's loss, he clearly was saying that message loud and clear to his guys in that locker room. And I think that it clearly doesn't have the same toughness mindset. Something we talked about on last week's report about who's the dog on this team, right? With Frank Mason and Landon Lucas and Josh Jackson all embodying that mindset a year ago, who's that guy? Devontae's the closest thing to it that they have, but they really need the guys with a little more edge to them. And toughness, or the opposite of softness, doesn't necessarily have to come from a dog. It has to come from somebody who's intense on both ends, refuses to let you take his ball, as we saw Arizona State so often do in pilfering it away from Kansas. A guy that hunkers down and won't let you cross that line in the sand he just drew defensively. Self felt like several times they allowed the guards on the perimeter from Arizona State to get a one- or two-step running start, which when they're already way quicker than you, they're going to blow by you. And with the absence of a true rim protector, you don't have that help on the second line to back you up if you get burned off the bounce. And so, you know, sometimes toughness shows up in the form of overcoming minor shortcomings. And they're not going to have shortcomings most nights. They're one of the best teams in the country. But in that matchup, they did. And so in order to keep a, you know, from a quickness standpoint, a superior team in front of you and not getting all the way to the cup, man, you had to hunker down and be tougher defensively. And he didn't see that out of his team. Obviously, we've never seen 58 points surrendered in one half by a Bill Self-coached team. So I think that he meant the words he said. And at the same time, I think he's a realist that knows this guy is not falling. They're about to get one extra guy on Saturday and Sam Cunliffe, who we can talk about here in a second. And they're hopeful still to get Billy Preston and Silvio D'Souza really soon. If so, it's a completely different team
right, from
a depth standpoint and from an energy standpoint, because Seren, the best guys on this Kansas team have been playing 38, 39 minutes a game. And to call it like it is, and this is not to make excuses, but in some of these late-game scenarios, they're getting beat because they've got dead legs.
Sure.
And that'll change in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully some of that toughness will develop.
Is that part of the problem, though, that this team is just kind of like waiting on help, that this team has maybe been a little bit neutral because they know they're getting at least Sam Cunliffe? And I'm sure as young guys – you know, they all feel like it's a done deal that Billy Preston's going to be back and D'Souza's going to be there. I think it's you know, and those of us that have been around the block a few more times are like, I get it. He's just got to get this score on his SATs. And I get it. They just got to clear up this paperwork on Billy Preston, right? But we've seen that not get done before. So I think we're maybe a little bit more apprehensive. Is this team maybe just had a mindset that they're like, listen, this isn't who we really are. And when we get all three of those guys, then we'll be who we really are. And we'll really roll up our sleeves and get to work. Is part of it that they're just kind of waiting on the cavalry to come help out?
You know, it's a great question you ask. And there could be some truth to that. I think more than anything, they were lulled into a little bit of a false sense of security where they were just beating the doors off of everybody at home to start the year, and they were hitting shots like crazy. I mean, but prior to the Arizona State game, their average home winning margin was 39 points a game. I think they won all three of those hoop hall invitational games heading into Miami by an average of 41, and shots were going down. Folks were posting career highs every single night, and you don't have to hunker down and have a resistant defense that doesn't allow baskets if you're just going to go down and so easily pick one up on the other end. And you look at some of Bill Self's best teams that, you know, for many years, I think it's been eight seasons of being in the top 10 in field goal percentage defense, you know, that they're a team that it started with, you're not going to score on us. And then you talk about turning defense into offense, points in transition, off of steals, all of that. But the baseline fundamental, you know, strategy was, we're going to be tough, you know what's on the other end of the floor, and you're not going to score on us. This Kansas team, I think, at times has embodied a mentality of, okay, well, it's all right if we give up a bucket here because we're going to go down and get three on the other end, and three's worth more than two. And we're going to hit our shots more often than you're going to hit yours, and we'll just wind up outscoring you. That's not been the staple of Bill Self, whether it's been Kansas, Illinois, or wherever. And so I think getting back to that obviously is going to serve them well. And they'll still be a great offensive team. But a team that begins by thinking, okay, we got to stop you before, you know, we talk about posting anything on the other end. I do think maybe there's some truth to what you said about, you know, they're waiting on getting a hole again. But certainly, I think the one-two factor's still been there to win. They just haven't necessarily gone about it the same way that some of Bill Self's best teams have done, and maybe that's the difference.
Everybody wants to win. You put the uniform on, you want to win. I mean, I think that's true certainly of anybody who plays at that level. What Kansas has always had is that you know, the group of players that feel like, you know, I can't lose, that whether it's a fear or whatever it is. Is this a sign that the seniors, the guys that have been there 4 years, and look, I don't like to call out college kids, but when you sign up to play for Kansas, you're going to be scrutinized more than if you want to go play for Georgia State. That's the reality of it. You sign the letter of intent, you got to live with it when you go to Lawrence, Kansas. Is Devontae Graham and Svi Mykhailiuk, and then even the junior, LeGerald Vick, just not have the leadership qualities? I'm not saying they're bad kids. I'm not saying they don't want to win. But do they not have the leadership qualities that maybe a Frank Mason or a Landon Lucas or some of the other seniors have had? I mean, that's always been kind of the trick that Kansas has had. And listen, they might rattle off 10 wins in a row, and this is going to be a stupid discussion. You know, if they're sitting at 17-2 rolling through the Big 12 again, this is going to look like a foolish statement. But here, coming off the two losses, is there maybe, are they just not the demonstrative, dynamic leaders that perhaps this program usually has when they've got those seniors in place?
You know, I think the leadership is still absolutely there with Devontae, and he leads both by example and verbally. I think leadership is not the issue. I think there's some execution things that are different than what you had a year ago, that in these two games, in this one 1 week window has kind of reared its ugly head on top of the depth issues that we spoke to a second ago and all the minutes certain guys are playing. I think the leadership is fine. And I think that as we talk about guys wanting to take on a more tough mindset, be a dog, Devontae can get to that level. He's the closest thing to it that they have. What they don't have right now is somebody that can just break you down off the bounce and get anything they want if your offense isn't clicking, if the play call isn't working, and you just need four guys to clear out, get out of the way, and let him go get his. Frank was that guy a year ago, and whether it was with a penetrating pitch to get an open shot for somebody in the corner or him finishing at the cup himself or drawing a foul himself, you had something there that when all else failed, he could go out and get his. And Josh Jackson was the same way. Now, Coach Self will tell you that LeGerald Vick is by far their best slasher on this team. Better than Devontae, better than Svi, better than Malik. And yet he's nowhere close to what Josh Jackson was at this time a season ago. And obviously nobody is the off-the-bounce creator that Frank Mason was. And so, you know, we're talking about offensive things right now. We talked about defensive breakdowns earlier. I don't think any of it has to do with leadership. I think it's just a team that, you know, in one example, ran into a defense that kind of forced them outside of their comfort zone in Washington because it was different the way they played the zone than what Kansas had just seen. And then the next week, the next game, I should say, versus Arizona State, they got beat by a really good team that at this juncture in the season is better than Kansas, and they didn't have an answer for their quickness, you know, at the guard positions. But as Bill Self was quick to point out to me on Monday when we did his TV show, he fully admitted, we got beat by the better team yesterday. As of now, he says, with emphasis. And he says, in 3 weeks, it could be different. You know, this is still an evolving team. And as you well know, Soren, many times the greatest development that happens in an individual five-month season is that period between the first and second semesters when they just have all to focus on and not class and other distractions from students and all that. So to me, I think there's a great evolution that's still coming with this Kansas team. And especially if you add in two or three more pieces, then we're talking about a whole different deal.
Yeah.
I don't blame leadership at this point. It's not like they're not executing the plan or something like that.
So let's talk about this. You just talked about the difference in talent. Josh Jackson to LeGerald Vick. We did this player by player. Frank Mason was better than Devontae Graham is right now. Devontae Graham was better last year than Malik Newman is right now. You know, you can go across the board. Josh Jackson was better than LeGerald Vick. Svi's probably a little bit better. We'll give him the credit of maturing and being better. You can make a case that Azubuike's better than Landon Lucas. However, Doug Gottlieb said, listen, Landon did a lot of little things that really made the overall team game better. So maybe he is or isn't. Overall, the talent's not as good right now. I mean, that's one of the things I think you can look at and say, you know, you expect Devontae Graham to be Frank Mason. Well, he's not as good as Frank Mason was last year. He's really good. Right? He's first team All-American probably, but he's not doing everything that Frank Mason was. Maybe just a tick below. But then there's who's doing what Devontae Graham was doing. That's not getting done. I mean, it's reality that we just need to understand that this team right now, with the talent they've got, they'll get more talent in Cunliffe and maybe a lot more. But right now, the story is simple. They're not as talented.
Yeah, that's fair. And Coach Self would tell you that. He would say, you know, we never should have been ranked the number two team in the country. That ranking was propped up based on the accomplishment of a previous team, last year's team, and the expectation to carry that baton forward. I mean, I challenge any team in America to lose the National Player of the Year, and the number four pick in the draft, which heading into draft night, some thought he'd be number one, and not have a single hiccup to start next season. You know, and to call it like it is, Malik hasn't been quite as good as we thought he would be, and I still think there's plenty of time for him to get it going. We talked on previous updates about how Coach Self said sometimes he plays at three-fourths speed and not full speed, and yet there's more there because Self a year ago really felt like he could be, you know, a 16, 18-point-per-game type scorer. And he spoke to a group in Kansas City about a month ago and talked about how, in terms of just a pure scorer, he could be a Jeff Boshi type player. And we haven't quite seen that just yet. You know, Udoka, for as much as we love the 36 dunks he has this year, he's not rebounding with his hair on fire like Coach Self would like him to. He's not using that amazing monster-like body with the type of ferocity that Coach Self would like to see him get after it on the glass, that is. And when you don't have any other bigs behind him, it's hard to motivate him with the greatest motivator of all, playing time. And that's a point that Bill Self's made several times in the last week. He says, you know, previous teams, if somebody was messing up or not doing the energy level we require, or the execution level we ask for, you got a McDonald's All-American on the bench you can bring in. They don't have that now. They're forced to allow guys to play through their problems, and I think that'll go a long ways in helping too. Not just depth in helping minutes and fatigue, but depth in terms of keeping guys sharp and getting your tail off the floor if you're not getting it done. So you're right. Right now they're not nearly as talented, but again, from a personnel standpoint, it's going to get better. And I think from an overall, you know, progress of this team standpoint, it'll get a lot better. And it may not be as good as it was at those two positions of Josh and Frank. You're not going to replace what each of those brought uniquely to the equation, but the collective sum of the parts come March could be every bit as good, if not better, if all these guys keep ascending. But obviously, there's got to be leaps and bounds of changes defensively if we're going to start talking about that.
We'll see what the Jayhawks do Saturday at Nebraska, 7 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, KU, Nebraska, a couple nights later, Omaha, and then a game at Stanford with a Stanford team that is really struggling before they get the conference season, a game that I think is going to be great, December 29th. Muhammad Bamba against Udoka Azubuike is must-see TV coming up on the 29th as the Jayhawks will go to Texas. That's a salty game right there. So hopefully the next three games for Kansas fans, the Jayhawks can fix whatever's illed them before they go down there and take on a very battle-tested Longhorn team that's been in a lot of big games. They shouldn't be wetting their pants when the Jayhawks come rolling in there into Austin. Brian Haney's with us. Brought to you by the 23rd Street Brewery. Time for our Kansas Lottery final. Four, of course, you can enter those non-winning holiday scratcher tickets in the Kansas Lottery Play On Loyalty Program. Go to kslottery.com for details. Your chance to win up to 15 grand. Brian, I'll start you with this one. A better nickname, Doak or Wiggs?
I like Doak because I can call him Udunka when he's averaging 4.5 dunks a game.
Okay.
But Wiggs is pretty dang good.
All right. Did you watch Tuesday Embiid versus Wiggins?
I didn't get to, but, man, I read all about it. And you know, Coach Self made the comment the other day, when KD and LeBron are slowing down in their careers and heading toward retirement, Embiid could be an MVP-level type talent. And, obviously, we've been waiting for a guy since Paul Pierce to be the flag carrier, the torch carrier for Kansas basketball at the NBA level. Pierce, a 10-time All-Star in his own right. I think we found him. And it wasn't from a wing scorer position. It was the center, Joel Embiid.
Yeah. KU, a number one seed in this year's NCAA tournament, yes or no?
For the 8th time in 12 years, they will be that, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I think carrying the company flag on that one a little bit. Should have at least been a hesitation out of you, but okay.
Hey, man, we're Kansas. We stick the chest out proudly, and I gave you a stat to back it up. What other program in the country could have said that?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Fair point. And finally, Saturday night, you'll be calling KU. Chiefs and Chargers will be playing. Who wins, Chiefs or Chargers?
Oh, it's Chiefs, man. I'm back on the bandwagon. I enjoyed your discussion of Philip Rivers the other day, talking about, you know, rivals that you respect but love to hate and all that.
Oh yeah,
Elway would have to be high on the list too, right?
Yes, he would. But, absolutely would.
But, yeah, that was great discussion. And, yet I'm picking the Chiefs. Great to see the run game get going again with a buck 16 from Kareem Hunt, who came on the Jayhawk postgame show with us and gave us a rock chalk Jayhawk after the Toledo game. So I love that guy now. Hopefully he'll be the ticket to committing to the run and obviously winning the battle up front on both sides as they did a week ago.
All right. Great stuff as always, Brian. We appreciate it. Have a great call of the game Saturday night, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Saran. Always fun, my friend.